someone is all that I can be. And maybe one day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure.
Aloha, I am your host, May Leilani, and this is the Universal Spiritual Connection, a place of shared unity and equal common ground for all peoples and cultures, a unity not built on separation and blindness, but a solid foundation built on respect for all walks of life, molded by the thirst of the people for change, in unity, bridging the gap, for we are the voice of we the people. Mahalo to all the listeners of BBSRadio.com. Our call-in numbers are toll-free 888-228-4494 or 877-489-6350. Our direct lines, same area code, is 530-776-5185 and 876-9916. Merry Christmas to all my sisters and brothers worldwide. May your Christmas be filled with love, peace, joy, and happiness, and filled with family and friendship. And I will look forward to all of you sharing with me when I come back in 2009. We're getting close to the end of the year. I also would like to personally and cordially invite each and every one of you to our children's Christmas party next week. Guess what, guys? Santa is coming to town. That's right, you heard it. We're going to have Santa in the studio with us, and he will be taking calls from all the children just before Christmas. So we do look forward to speaking to the children worldwide. So make a note, because we hope to see you all there. I'd also like to share a bit of our information about our guest for this evening, and I am really excited and thrilled about this show. What an amazing book that I have in front of me. The title of this book is called Soul Currency. I'd like to share the website with all of you, and that is www.soulcurrency.org. I invite each of you, as all you know, I have a wealth of information about our guest that come on to this show, and I'd like to invite you all personally to my show page with bbsradio.com. Our guest for this evening is Reverend Ernest Chu. In more than 35 years as an investment banker, corporate executive, and entrepreneur, Ernest has become a widely recognized expert on financing emerging growth companies. He has created more than $1.5 billion in market value for his clients. As an abundance coach, he has evaluated thousands of businesses' proposals and advised hundreds of emerging companies, serving as leader and business coach to 9 early-stage companies, with 5 of those companies becoming public companies. In his new book, Soul Currency, Investing Your Inner Wealth for Fulfillment and Abundance, Chu identifies the spiritual equivalent of business success and redefines financial value, such as currency, into the organic aliveness of spirit. Of equal importance to his business activities, Chu currently serves as an assistant pastor at the Religious Science Fort Lauderdale, the largest religious science church in the Southwest. So let's all please give our guest for this evening, Ernest Chu, a warm welcome to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Merry Christmas, Ernest, and to your family as well.
Thank you very much.
It is an honor to have you with us, and I've really been looking forward to having you on the show with us this evening.
Well, thank you.
The first question I would really like to ask you, Ernest, if I may, you know, as I was reading your bio, you were in here talking about, let's see, if you'll just give me a moment here, emerging growth companies. If you would just bring our listeners tonight up to speed what that means, so that way they'll have a better understanding as we dive into this amazing book.
Well, I chose to specialize in companies that had large potential, were already growing, and most of those companies today are really the true backbone of job creation, because these companies are the ones that have invested in the new technologies, have invested in services, have helped to pioneer things like the internet and biotechnology. And I've really enjoyed that, because that has also been very mentally stimulating, as well as allowing me to see how I can use my expertise and being able to help those companies grow. Now, of course, you know that I don't do too much of that, as much of it as I used to. But I do advise entrepreneurs, and I do sometimes advise companies. I often sit on boards of companies, primarily to not only counsel them on business, but on also business practices and basically the culture of the company.
Absolutely. You know, in your bio, you were talking, sharing with all of us tonight that you were very much involved with investing banking, and now you are a minister. How did that come about? That's such a wide change for you.
Well, actually, I was involved in 9 companies, of which 3 of them went public, and 2 of them were also public when I got involved with them, so about 5 out of 9. 8 out of 9 were fairly successful, and the 9th one, I will say, the appearance was that of a total financial disaster, but it probably was the most successful of all because of what I learned from it. And I literally woke up one day and found that as we were doing, this company I thought had the greatest potential of all the companies that I was involved with. And I woke up one day and found out that the CEO of the company and major shareholder while we were doing the financing, they had basically some very much undisclosed things about their background. And the financial transaction just melted away, and the company melted away. And I had been so enthused and felt I had worked very closely with my partner at that point. And I had guaranteed about half the company's obligations, and I had also taken out some loans and so forth to invest in the company. And so I ended up about $1 million in debt. And that was an enormous shock to me, and I couldn't really declare bankruptcy if I ever wanted to work in the financial arena again. So I had to really kind of find a solution. And to give you an idea of how hopeless that was, if you're $1 million in debt, and you can even get the banks to stop the interest a little bit, but it would take you probably 200 or 300 years if you got a good job and you were able to put about $3,000 or $2,000 a month toward your debt before you'd even notice that you made a dent in it. And so I wasn't even going to live that long, and I had thought, well, I have to find something, even if I have to spend the rest of my life trying to figure out how to do this. I felt like I owed some of the people who were vendors and who had been bondholders and so forth, because basically it's one thing when something doesn't work out because of something with having to do with business conditions, but it's a really another thing if there's something that hadn't necessarily been disclosed fully, and it came as a total surprise to me as well. So I looked around to try to figure out how to get myself out of this, because I was going through a lot of things that your listeners today are worried about. I couldn't pay my mortgage. I couldn't basically pay my obligations. And obviously I was very highly leveraged and had borrowed money. And so I was in a real, very serious financial condition, and I couldn't declare bankruptcy. So I literally lost almost everything that I had. Or sold everything, or just liquidated everything. I went through a dark night of the soul until I discovered a religious science church, and I basically discovered it almost by accident. I had been invited to a wedding and sort of got there, and I just felt that this was just a very peaceful place that I felt real good at sitting there. And so I came back on the next Sunday and the next Sunday and sat in the back and listened to what they were saying about the message, and I felt very peaceful, and I felt that this was this had something for me. And eventually I ended up taking classes there. I was kind of dragged kicking and screaming to the classes because I basically thought it was just another way that the church got money. But I basically got there and I realized that it had some real important things for me to learn about my own thinking and about my own spiritual center. And those things really ended up saving my life, literally, and also enabling me to not only come back from this, but to come back and look at it in a totally different way. It's changed my life so that I really got to see what was really important, and that's why I said it probably was the greatest success that I've had from that standpoint.
And, you know, it's really interesting. I'm so glad to hear you say that, because I've said it many, many times on this show, is that, you know, it's those darkest moments that we really find a lot of ourselves. You know, we start to reach way deep within ourselves, and we start to understand who we are. And that there's so much more to us that is a part of the grander picture. And, you know, I know that those things have happened for me is when those darkest moments, you know, I was walking through them. And I found that's where I claimed my own personal empowerment. You know, most people, to be in a $1 million debt, would have crumbled.
Well,
I find that absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I perhaps didn't realize. I've been used to dealing with big numbers, so I wasn't always impressed with millions. But I'll tell you that it was so far beyond what I could personally manage that when it did turn around, I was very clear, you know, why it happened and how it happened, and that it wasn't just an accident or a coincidence or that I got lucky or whatever.
I'd like to where that came from.
Absolutely.
I'd like to take a moment, and our guest for this evening is Reverend Ernest Chu, and he is the author of a book titled Soul Currency, Inner Wealth for Fulfillment and Abundance. The website is soulcurrency.org. I'd also like to remind you and invite you all to my show page with BBS Radio. As many of you are aware of, I have a wealth of information about our guest for this evening. And I have to tell you all, this is an absolute amazing book. You don't know it yet, Ernest, but you and I are going to be best friends. What I was also really impressed with is you really touched into the spiritual parts of self, And, you know, here you talked about calculating the spiritual capital. Can you share your thoughts on that? How does that work, and what does that look like?
Well, having been in the capital markets, I know quite a lot about capital. In fact, I even at one point, I don't think you mentioned it, I even used to write for the Wall Street Journal. I was a columnist for about a year for the Wall Street Journal. That was my first job on Wall Street. And so I wrote about the bond markets and the financing business section of the Wall Street Journal. So I have a really good idea of what financial capital is. But I discovered there was a much more powerful form of capital. In fact, it is the fundamental form of capital which creates all capital, and that is spiritual capital. And you say, well, what is that? In its very simplest form, spiritual capital is literally the activation and creativity of love, or that energy of God. But in a very more left-brained way, you have within you that those energies that of not only spirit, but really what we choose to call what we've done with that, which is our cultivated skills, our higher personality qualities such as integrity and determination and things of that type, as well as the things that allow us to be guided, such as intuition, and also things that are allowing us to be creative, such as being able to envision things, to imagine things of that type. Those are very powerful characteristics. I've chosen to call them assets because everywhere else they're known as either qualities or inner your inner backbone or your divine talents or whatever. And when you go through a dark night of the soul, as I did, you may know intellectually that you've got many of these things, but they don't really seem to help you in terms of being able to create abundance or get to a point where you even feel good about yourself. And so I chose to really rename them and call them assets, and I've added a few things such as cultivated skills because they're very much like that. And I discovered that when I basically was telling myself I had nothing, and then I realized, you know, I had a good education, I learned a lot about finance, I had good contacts, I had a sense of imagination and creativity, and so I realized what I had was literally I had assets. They just weren't liquid, and it was very much like a company that, you know, had a lot of assets but didn't have a lot of working capital, and I had to just simply develop a strategy to work on that. So how do you go from assets to capital? Well, in my case, and in cases that I saw, it was a lot easier than I thought. You know, you don't have to simply say, well, I'm going to use 10% of my imagination and 5% of my determination and et cetera. You basically set your intention, you set your focus, and there's something, the most important ingredient in this that all of a sudden brings your assets to life and creates capital out of it, is literally that whole source energy. And you can bring the source energy in through prayer, you can bring the source energy in through really your passion and enthusiasm for doing things. And so when you do that, you end up creating a form of spiritual capital that for example, when you invest it, like Jim Henson did, you end up with the Muppets, you end up with something just just enormously powerful, as enormously useful and beneficial to society, and also he didn't do too badly financially either. When he passed away, his company was worth about $300 million. So he went. But these I mentioned Jim Henson, and I'll mention also J.K. Rowling, because when she invested her spiritual capital, she didn't have a whole lot of financial capital. And what happened is, within 10 years, she had more money than the Queen of England. And so basically, you can see that when you invest your spiritual capital, it creates financial capital, but it creates things in a way that is so mind-boggling. It's like almost having your own investment in Microsoft, as an example, and you could do that every day. And so, this is an important thing to understand.
Let me ask you this, then. You know, for those that are, you know, we need to break it down and have them understand just a little bit simplified in understanding of what spiritual assets are. How does one go about really tuning in to what their spiritual assets are and then being able to actually apply that in their everyday lives?
Well, I think that there's sort of the old Chinese way of learning, which is essentially observing. And often I will have my students take a pad with them, and I'll have them observe over a period of maybe 4 days, write down every hour something that two or three things that they saw themselves doing right. Because you see, we know that we know when we are doing something wrong because or have an embarrassing situation, and we really concentrate on those, but we don't really know, and we're not as aware of the things that we almost mindlessly do that are right, and that we use these things as these are examples of our spiritual assets. We can begin to look at how we characterize spiritual assets, because again, we have four categories, and for instance, people may say, well, I sort of have a little intuition once in a while. Well, you know, part of this is that a lot of these assets aren't really used either. And so what you would want to do is to be aware that they are really things that will guide you. So when you have intuition, as an example, you're guided. You don't always have to make a choice, because you know what that journey needs to be, and you know what the choices are, and you know the decision that has to be made. And so it's almost so seamlessly that we call it flow. And that's sort of a definition of flow when you have a lot of your assets working for you. But you see, you don't have to think about them, because there's an intelligence. There's an infinite spiritual intelligence.
Yes.
That works for you. So you're just like a conductor that has a world-class orchestra, and you're just going to be telling them through intention and focus what they ought to be playing, and you're going to get some beautiful music without even having to try. You just have to just say, okay, we're ready, play.
Absolutely, because just before I started broadcasting this radio show, I made an effortless $20. I'm so proud of that $20, and all I had to do was answer a couple of questions.
There you go.
Well,
you know,
effortless.
You now simply expand that to another level. Add a couple more zeros if that's really important for you, and if it's not, then that's how it's also being reflected. And those are some of the ways that literally spiritual capital becomes financial capital, because financial capital, remember, is nothing more than symbols and agreements. And when you add fear to the equation instead of love, you get what's been happening in the last 6 months. And when you add love to it, you get a Jim Henson or a J.K. Rowling.
And love is the key, isn't it, Ernest?
Well, it is a key. We tend to only think of it as a feeling, but you see, love is really the source energy, and love is all around us. It surrounds us. We can't see it sometimes, we can't even feel it sometimes, but when it flows through us, we become aware of it. In fact, it really saturates us. It basically infuses every cell of our being, and it creates an energy field and an energy that really opens us to all the gifts and the various creative aspects of the universe that flows through us and around us and creates. So, you know, when you feel it, that's one thing, but the other thing is when you set your intention, as an example, and you say, gee, I'd like to have more people call, more advertisers or more sponsors or more people that I can network with. And you say, my phone ought to ring. And so you start to set that into motion and you do a few things. And all of a sudden, the phone starts to ring and people start to ask you. They said, well, you know, I was just, I've been thinking about calling you. And so finally got around to it. I found your card and, you know, let's have lunch. And the phone will start to ring and you will, first thing will happen is you'll act somewhat surprised because you had intended it, but you had never totally expected that it would just respond to you just like that. And that energy that is creative is also love.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I'm like yourself where I speak to people from all over the world, and many of them obviously are within the spiritual community, even though people worldwide are spiritual beings. But, you know, there's a common denominator, as I'm sure you are observant of, and that's the spiritual community seems to have trouble creating prosperity. You know, through my own observation, even with myself as an individual for a long time, you know, I had a really bad attitude. And one of the main things that I hear people say all the time is you can't be spiritual enough because they have this tendency to feel or believe that, you know, money is evil. If you are that spiritual, money should not be playing a factor into that. And so what are your thoughts or views on those belief systems? And
well,
how do we get beyond it?
I'm glad you asked, because those are the questions that my students ask me as well. And I've thought about these things for many years and observed. And the first thing I will say is that people that generally embark on a spiritual journey have an intention to heal a part of themselves or to heal a lot of things about themselves, primarily having to do with love or primarily having to do with worthiness, having to do with deserving, and having to do with self-esteem. And so the thing is that we all tend to be very focused, especially from a standpoint of our spirituality, on giving, because we choose giving is about love, and we have that certainly, that's the easiest thing for most of us to be able to do. The hardest part is that we tend to, until we really get to a point in our spirituality where we see that there's really no distinction between really the God that is that we view as that intelligence in the universe and ourselves, meaning in a sense that we are not separate, that within us, in every cell of our body is that divine imprint of energy that is there. And behind every thought, who is the thinker, as Deepak Chopra would say, it's God. And essentially, once you've reached that standpoint, then you don't have any issue about loving yourself, because what's there to love? If you understand that God is there, and so you don't have an issue. But while you're on that journey, much of the time, people that are sort of making that journey from really one part of their perception of what the self is to a far greater perception of the self, they have issues about receiving. And those issues are, well, you know, it's selfish to receive, it's selfish to put yourself first, it's selfish to want money for yourself and not give it away to others. So that's what happens, is that people have roller coaster prosperity because they give and then essentially run out of things to give because they haven't been receiving. And then, of course, since people don't have poverty consciousness, they'll all of a sudden now focus on receiving and getting some money and being serious about taking care of things. And then finally things turn around, and then they go right back into a situation of spending more time giving and not enough time really opening up to receive and letting the flow of both giving and receiving circulate throughout the consciousness.
So what are some of the suggestions that you would have for us to come to a place of centeredness and balance with giving and receiving? What are some of the techniques that worked for you?
Well, the first thing I would say is that I would make sure that I have spiritual practices, and we all have our own different forms of it, but the important thing is that it needs to be consistent in order really, in part, to really set the tone of the day, to set the tone when you go to sleep. And I always use affirmative prayer in that regard. And I usually tend to, while I will focus on things that might be important for me during the day, I will also focus on really having that deeper relationship with spirit, and also working on my trust that this is literally a relationship of that spirit is really within me, and so I'm trusting that whatever I do and whatever I choose to be, I'm really that expression of spirit. So that's one of the things. The other is that exercise where I begin to really look at what I do and what I actually do well, and what I actually do catch myself doing right, and basically I really begin to understand that except for some things that I've interpreted as mistakes, and again that's just an interpretation, I literally go through the day and there's a lot within me that knows exactly what to do, and
yes.
That also
we do,
leads
don't we?
To, pardon?
I apologize. We do know what we do right and what is not for our highest good. I know
right.
I am very aware of it.
Yeah, and so what happens is that once we begin to get used to focusing on what we've done right, you know, give you an example. You drive somewhere and you you haven't had directions. You've never been there. It's a little tricky. And you get there, and you just arrive there. And are you going to sit there and say, "Oh my God, I just got here! What a harrowing journey this was"? Or are you going to sit there and pat yourself on the back and saying, "Boy, this was a real challenge to get there, and I drove right there, and here I am. Didn't even take a wrong turn. Wow, I'm patting myself on the back. You did a great job." See,
I get
that.
I understand that completely because I do. That's another observation I have is the self-defeating self-talk, you know, instead of us coming to that realization that we got there and recognizing that and celebrating that within ourselves, we're always too busy going, "Oh God, I'm 5 minutes late. I should have done this." You know, the shoulda, woulda, couldas kind of thing. But before we get started again, we do have a caller, and I would like to take a moment to invite Gracie on line 2 to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha, Gracie.
Aloha, Gracie. Hi, Leilani. How are you, hon?
I am great.
We're here in the Power Talk family listening in, and we're enjoying your wonderful show with your lovely host there. You guys are doing guests, and you're doing really great. You know, it was so interesting. We were discussing in the chat room, in the Universal Spiritual Connection room, about love, and it just so happened at the moment when you mentioned love. It was like ESP, you know, you're just enjoying the show, and your topic is very, very interesting.
Well, if you'll give me just a moment,
you know,
I would.
A little bit to my understanding on, you know, as you were just discussing on things that we don't always know what we do right and things like that, and I find the book very informational.
Oh, Gracie.
So I just want to thank you for, you know, your wonderful show, your beautiful guest. The information is precious, and we're all enjoying you guys. So thank you very much, and wish you all a beautiful holiday.
Well, first and foremost, this is an absolutely amazing book. I'm going to see what I can do about talking Ernest and coming on to the show more frequently to share with all of us. And and we'll see what happens from that. But I also wanted to take a moment and say aloha to everyone in Pal Talk. It's truly an honor to have you all with us this evening. And as many of you are probably aware of, our guest for this evening is Ernest D. Chu. And I'd like to share his website with all of you, and that is soulcurrency.org. He is the author of Soul Currency, Investing in Your Inner Wealth for Fulfillment and Abundance. So, Gracie, before we say goodnight to you, did you have any questions or thoughts you would like to share with Ernest?
Well, I really, you know, just wish to thank him for a beautiful book. I think the information he's presenting is really very good, you know, especially, you know, love, you know, things that we don't always do, you know, correctly and stuff. And his insight is fantastic.
Thank you.
Just wish to share that.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Gracie, and Merry Christmas to all of you, and may you guys all continue tuning into the show. Have a good night, and God bless. All right. Well, that was wonderful, wasn't it? And what a pleasant surprise, Ernest. I have a radio room also, and I usually have about 40 to 50 people a lot of times that will come in and listen to the show. So it's just really nice to know that they're all tuned in and listening to. And I really wanted to share you with all of them as well. So let me ask you this question, you know, because a lot of times I noticed as well is that as an observation, I will notice that people a lot of times will have a lot of opinions about individuals that are not necessarily in our own sight. Think, you know, because we're all spiritual beings that aren't necessarily what we would think of as being on their spiritual path, and they seem to be very prosperous. They seem to be in the right place at the right time, and life just seems to be flowing very nicely for them. So could you share with us tonight some of your thoughts on that? Why is that, and how is it that we all, what is it that they know that we need to come to a better understanding about? Let's put
well,
it that way.
Well, you hit it on the head that we need to come to a better understanding, and this is what it is. I mean, everything is spiritual. But one of the things that happens is that it's very much like someone who has lost 60 pounds and really now practices health and exercise and yoga and all those things. And, you know, you ever try to have lunch with somebody like that? And what it is that people, we all, when you're really enthused and you're really committed to either a teaching or a lifestyle, you have a way of languaging things so that it tends to exclude people that may not necessarily do things exactly the way that you believe is important to be done. And, you know, we know this in religion, too, because there are different branches of religion that basically are very exclusive, and that's a fairly obvious one. But what it's hard for sometimes for us to imagine that we're using the same kinds of language in saying, you know, we're the ones that are practicing spirituality, and, you know, why is it that we're having so much trouble creating prosperity, when all these people who seem to not be terribly spiritual are doing it? Well, the answer is that everything is spiritual. It's the language that really often separates us, and because the universal laws, the universal spiritual laws, don't make a distinction about whether somebody basically practices, you know, goes to church or practices meditation or whatever. It may be that someone is got a rough around the edges and maybe didn't even finish high school and believes that we all have certain beliefs, and his beliefs may be somewhat different. But you see, he's open to receive. He's open to create. He's focused. He has activated a lot of his spiritual assets and very regularly invests his spiritual capital with great love. And some of these people may not necessarily be what we think they are until we get to know them, and then we realize they have a big heart. But from a distance, it may look like they don't seem to be terribly spiritual, and certainly don't meet the criteria that we've set for ourselves.
Absolutely, because I personally know many millionaires and billionaires and trillionaires, and I've known these individuals for many, many years, and I found them to be some of the most incredibly loving, giving individuals. And as I developed my relationship with them, what I found is one of the common denominators that they all had is the amount of giving to society, to be of true service to people worldwide, and it was consistent all the time.
That's right. And once in a while, you'll run into people who have used their spiritual assets and capital and have activated laws of prosperity and have created prosperity. But they weren't aware of that.
Yes.
And they thought, oh, my gosh, that's a one-time thing. And so they spend the rest of their life in fear, holding on
yes.
to it, afraid that they'll never be able to create it again and that there isn't enough. But that's relatively few and far between, because most human beings are really hardwired to give, hardwired to be kind, hardwired to be loving.
Yes. One of the things that I do consistently is I'm working with a group of individuals to basically I'm just, you know, as a support system saying, yes, you are able to make these dreams reality. So let's make a, you know, to-do list and take one or two steps every day until we get to the final result of where you have envisioned yourself to be. And it's been such a delight, Ernest, for me to observe, you know, a group of women that have come together and have, you know, standing side by side each other. One individual may have a talent that she can share with someone else, and it's just wonderful to see all these wonderful things transpiring. And I also am receiving in so many ways, you know, just through the eyes of joy, the excitement that I can feel my heart explode, just so many different feelings I have. And what's even more profound is that we're giving each other the permission to be our greatness that the universe was, you know, waiting for us to claim. But on that note, I'd like to welcome our next caller, Kinder Soul, on line 2 to the Universal Spiritual Connection. Aloha, Kinder Soul.
Hi, Leonie.
How are you?
I know. I'm doing fine now. I've been sick, but other than that, I'm doing fine.
It's good to know that you're feeling much better. Yeah. Well,
I've been listening about this receiving and giving. Well, if you're not used to receiving, I mean, it's kind of hard to accept it when it does come along. How can you all focus yourself in order to allow it to happen?
Well, I'm going to turn that over to Ernest and let him share his thoughts with you on that.
Okay.
Well, you have to, first of all, realize that, you know, what you consider to be you is not really you in the sense of how you have seen yourself. You know, you can go to church and say, well, I'm a child of God, but when you really understand that you're really that expression of spirit in every part of your body, then you don't have any issues about receiving, because there's no such thing as being selfish, because there is no self in the very narrow sense of the word. there's almost a, instead of saying yourself less, you're probably, you could say yourself more, because you're a lot more than what you think you are. Yourself is really that expression of God, and in every part of your being. And so you're not separate from spirit. So when you have this whole idea of receiving, spirit is also receiving as well as giving. It's a continuous process. And so we just have unfortunately chosen to make it more socially acceptable to give than to receive. And I believe that whole biblical passage has been really misinterpreted to really think that, you know, when you receive, you're really being selfish. And when you really begin to understand that really God is there, in every aspect of it, that God is receiving, not necessarily you, but you as God.
I understand that part. Just every now and then it gets into my head. It's like, you know, it's really hard to receive things from people or even advice sometimes. And, but everybody doesn't have a problem giving it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's the most socially acceptable thing about it, because we're hardwired to give and hardwired to be kind. And so the important thing is that when you notice that you're having trouble receiving, ask yourself, how about God inside? How about making sure that God is receiving this? So when you think of, oh, well, it's not me, it's God that's receiving it, will that be a little easier for you to be able to then turn around and say, okay, when I get a compliment, I'm not going to say, not really, or I'll say just thank you, because that's understanding that it's really that God being within you, that energy of spirit that has created you and is present in every part of you.
Yes. And, you know, one of the, if I may, Kinder Soul, I apologize for the interjection here, but, you know, as I was reading Ernest's book, Soul Currency, he really touches in on the importance of, you know, meditation and looking in within ourselves. Where did we pick up this belief system that we weren't worthy enough? Was it a program that we had picked up, you know, as we became into an adulthood, writing a list of observation for yourself. So, you know, I know that that's helped me a lot of times in becoming an observer of self. Does that make sense?
He mentioned the one thing that I have the hardest time receiving, and it was like really weird that he would mention compliments, because that is my biggest thing, hardest thing. When it comes to receiving, I get to where I don't even know what to say to the people then. It's like, I clam up or I turn around and walk away.
How about saying, why thank you? And say it in a very loving way. What would God say?
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's start working with that. Because that's the reason I brought it up, was that's an easy one to do. It's just like when you're learning how to do prayers, you do prayers for parking spaces and things like that, and you test it on take little steps. And here's something that you can take a step. This is going to be the holiday season. You're going to be dressed up. You'll be be with other people. You know, you'll be loving and shiny, and when they say you look wonderful. And you know what you're going to say, right? You're going to say, why, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. That one I'm going to work on, and Jazz is going to help me.
That's right.
When we be talking and stuff, you know. Sometimes when she says something, it's like I don't even know what to say back to her, so I'm working
She's
on it.
She's talking about me, Ernest, because I do. I work with a lot of people. As I had shared with you earlier and stuff, and You know what's amazing, too, is what was, as I was sitting here listening to both of you, is that we also have to become observant as well as our dialogue, our inner dialogue with self, also, and our actions and how we choose to react to actions as we interact with life. And so that's where I have really become more observant on how I interact, as you know, Kendra, so you know that, right?
I'm working on it.
And you are doing wonderful. So what would you say?
Thank you.
There you go.
There you go. Remember.
That's what I thought.
You just received.
Yes.
Yeah, I did.
Because giving and receiving doesn't necessarily equate to money all the time.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's receiving energy.
On that one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate you guys talking to me about this, because the receiving thing I've always had a problem with, but have been working on it.
You go, girl.
Well, change that dialogue too. That you know, I am receiving, and don't say I am working on it. Just say I am receiving, or I have learned to receive. Do it in the present tense. That is, don't do it in the past or the future tense. You know,
okay.
Do it in the present tense, because the mind understands that, and when you start to do that, all of a sudden you have convinced yourself you're going to make tremendous strides. You'll be dropping a lot of those stories about how you can't receive and how you can't do this and you don't know what to say. All of that will just go by the wayside. You'll be surprised.
Yes.
Okay, but just in other words, turn it around as being a positive thing. As I am receiving, it's not that I'm trying to receive it, it's just that I already am.
That's right. You watched Star Wars, right? Did you ever watch Star Wars?
I watched it.
You remember what Yoda said to Luke Skywalker? He said, "There's no trying. It is you either are or you don't, and you are not trying. You're doing it."
Right.
So that's, and you are. And the other thing I would recommend that you do is, instead of saying, "I need this" or "I need to do this," you substitute the word "choose." I choose to have more money. I choose to be loving. I choose to accept compliments. I choose to receive. Instead of "I need to receive," "I need to this," or "I," right? Doesn't it sound a little bit more
right,
empowering
like
to yourself?
I choose to let someone love me, or I choose to let, you know, things happen in a certain way.
Right.
Yes.
Oh,
and so what you're telling the universe is that you're taking full responsibility and accountability for self.
Yep.
That
right.
You are indeed worthy of not only receiving, but giving.
The giving I've gotten down is the receiving, and I am receiving.
You have to understand that people avoid looking at receiving issues by focusing on their giving. So sometimes their giving isn't even that totally sincere. It's just a way to not have to deal with receiving. So just be aware of that. I know that you're a very loving and giving person. Just understand that receiving is also the same coin, but maybe a different side of the same coin.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Kinder Soul, for calling in. God bless you. And
God
may
you
and
too.
Your family have a wonderful Christmas filled with joy.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, and God bless. I just want to remind all our listeners, our guest for this evening is Ernest Chu, and he is the author of Soul Currency, Investing in Your Inner Wealth for Fulfillment and Abundance. What an incredibly amazing book. I have that in my possession right now. It's definitely going to be one of those books that stays very close at hand. And my exercising a lot of the wonderful wisdom and knowledge that Ernest shares in this book with all of us? Yes, I am. Is it working? You bet it is. I'm not above learning, and I know many of us, and you know many people around you as well, that could probably really, really use this book to enhance their lives, to finally invite themselves to be their greatness, to exercise their personal empowerment. This is what was promised to each and every one of us. As you all have heard me say, it is time, the time has arrived for us to let go of our smallness and to be our greatness in all expressions of life. Ernest, we are close to the end of our show. It's been truly an honor, and I'd like to give you this opportunity to maybe share some last-minute thoughts with our listeners this evening. I truly do hope that you will come back and share a part of yourselves with all of us.
Well, I'd be delighted to do that, and I just want to share that, you know, regardless of what you see on television or hear about the economy and this and that, understand that there's been no clearer time in your life and in mine where it's so obvious what the real truth is, that the real wealth, the real assets, the real power is within you, and that the outer world is simply a collective reflection of fears and many of the other things that we have, and we are choosing instead to really operate and be very clear about that the only truth is love. And when we create with love and we create with wholeness, that is really the most empowering and also the most fulfilling way to really lead our lives.
Well said. Thank you for those words of wisdom. The website is soulcurrency.org. I wanted to remind all of our listeners to bring your children, your grandchildren, and this is an invitation to each and every one of you worldwide. Santa Claus is coming to town, and we're going to have a special Christmas party for all the children, and they're going to actually get to be able to speak with Santa. So don't forget to place that on your calendar. I know that you'll all want to tune in and bring your children to share, to allow them to share a little bit of their own thoughts with Santa Claus. I do thank each and every one of you, and always remember, it is time, the time has come, to let go of your smallness, claim your greatness and your empowerment. And I want to thank you, Ernest, for such an incredible book. I am so grateful that I have this, and I'm going to send you an email and reschedule you for 2009. Is that all right with you?
That's perfect. Sure. That'll be
excellent. I want to wish you and your family a Merry Christmas full of joy and love, blessings, and filled with family and friendships, and lots of success to you. We are truly honored to have had you with us.
Say on the islands, Mele Kalikimaka.
That's excellent. Mele Kalikimaka. Yes, yes, thank you. Good night to each and every one of you. Merry Christmas to all. Remember, love is the key. Good night.
One day God will show me what I need. Right now, I'm not so sure about myself. Will I ever turn and face myself and learn to fly? I've always heard that mirrors never lie. But that's not true, because I see a man but feel a child. There are some of us who can hear a voice inside, a truthful voice that says, yes, you were born to fly, you were born to fly. We were born to fly high. We were born to fly, and so was I. I asked myself, what will I come to be? I have a choice now, so I guess it's up to me. Maybe I will make a difference in this world. Maybe I will teach another boy or another girl how to fly. Teach them all that they were born to fly. And we were born to fly, so was I. But when you live in a world that tells you that you can't, and when you live in a world that says you must be something other than what you are, in a world that forgets he was born to fly. We were born to fly. We were born to fly.